Praise the Lord, everyone. Hallelujah. We thank God for an opportunity to teach the Word of God on this morning. Amen. We're going to ask that everyone go to Micah 7 and 7. And it says, "Therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." I'm going to title this teaching, "There is Power in Waiting." There is power in waiting. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to teach your word. We pray that you touch the hearts and the minds of the people so they're not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm sure you would agree with me in saying that waiting rooms depict some of the most stressful times of anyone's life. From the time of waiting in a hospital room, you don't know what the fate of that loved one is going to be. From the time of waiting at a courthouse for a jury to deliberate, it showcases our weakness. Because the period for which we wait highlights our unknown outcome. We get uncomfortable when we are not in the know. You ever been in a time and in a position where you were at work and you know you made a mistake? And your boss comes over to you and says to you, "I got to tell you something, but I'm going to see you at the end of the year." What goes on in your mind when they tell you that? You're saying, well, can you tell me now? I can lighten my workload if we could just meet and talk now. Why? Because you don't know what your fate is. We're not in control. Not accepting the fact that we're not the ones who are supposed to be in control. We're just mere employees waiting on the next direction from the ultimate boss. The secular definition of wait is to stay where someone is, or to delay action until a particular time, or until something else happens. We don't want to do that. There's no fun in waiting. We don't like to press pause. Especially if you haven't planned your waiting out. The majority of times, whenever we panic during our process of waiting, is because we know we didn't do the necessary things we needed to do up until that point. Not all the time, but the majority. Let me give you an example. It's time for me to go to work. The alarm clock goes off. I hit the snooze button. I get that extra 5 minutes. It goes off again. I hit the snooze button. Then the greatest alarm clock of all, my wife, says to me, "It's time for you to get up." I hit the snooze button on her. And I lay back down. Now all of a sudden, I'm getting up. I'm rushing in the shower. I'm about to hit my toe as I'm getting out of the shower. I'm running through the house, put my pants on like this, saying, "Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I got to hurry up and get there. I'm running behind. And then when I get inside of the car, I see a red light after I've gotten to the end of the road. No one wants to stop at those. How dare this light turn red, knowing that I'm running 15 minutes behind schedule. So we run the red light. I'm talking about me. Some of you all are more spiritual than I am. Y'all gonna have to pray for me because I run red lights sometimes. Hallelujah. Some of you might say, "Well, how can you say hallelujah after that?" But we had the light and we're saying, just the time. And right now, we don't have confidence because we know we didn't do what we needed to do that would have put us in a position where the red light wouldn't matter. But what if you knew you got up on time and situations occurred that were beyond your control? You're justified. You're secure, and you have that confidence that you're all right because you know God has it all in control for you. What about when you go to the doctor and you're awaiting the fate of the results? Think about the fear that you have when you know you've been eating cookies and cake and fried chicken and macaroni and cheese and all the great things that we love. There's no confidence in your waiting period. I'm so glad we got this teaching about fasting and understanding what fasting really is, because so many times people think fasting is doing your best to get some type of supernatural power so you can make the water come up and point your finger over here and make the lights fall down. But all it is building your confidence, strengthening your relationship with the Lord so you know him. That when you go before his throne, you can say within yourself, "I know he will hear me because I've spent time with him." But we don't want to do that. We don't like the wait. We don't like planning out our wait. So as we wait for our fate, we end up getting devastating news. Why? Because our waiting was not on our side of caution. We live in a time where people are controlled by convenience. Let me ask the question, has anybody ever gone to a hotel or to any type of place that has an escalator or an elevator and asked, "Where are the stairs?" Can you show me where the stairs are? No, if we go into a hotel and we're staying on the 10th floor, because you know we want to be big shots, but if we stay on the 10th floor, if they say that there are no stairs, we'll check out. Why? Because our convenience is inconvenienced and it's been taken out. So we don't want to be in any position that makes us have to work out our salvation. We don't want to make things work. You talk about me, apologize, because I offended Brother Powell? No. He should come to me. I don't want to go to him. Talking about waiting. Putting yourself in a position to where the end results are on your side. Our opening text, it says in Micah 7:7, therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. He will hear me. My God will hear me. Here Micah is talking about prayer. Now this part here really touched me. The look to is the current situation. And the outcome is the he will hear me. Because we know that when he hears us, that's the answer to the current situation. We don't like the look to. This is what you would call the what about me period. Lord, what about me? God, you see me here waiting here. What about me? I'm making all these requests and it seems like nothing is happening. What about me? We go through, we have a pity party and we say, well, Lord, I don't deserve what I'm going through. And instead of looking to the Lord, we become emotional. Now, when I was putting this together, when this part came to me, I started rejoicing. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying life and enjoying emotions. In fact, the best place to display emotions is when we worship God. But we don't want to be led by our emotions. We must learn to manage them and not allow them to manage us. You're making progress when you can feel all the wrong things happening, but still choose to obey God. That's where the victory and the power comes. Catch this, power over Satan doesn't mean that we can just keep him at bay whenever we want to and he never attacks us. It doesn't mean that problems won't occur and people won't do anything to make us upset and make us angry. Situations won't happen at the job. We will never have problems in our marriage. Our children will never act up. It does not mean that. It means when we are under attack, we don't have to act like him. We don't have to do what he does. We don't have to look like him. In the midst of us being under severe attack of the enemy, we still look like Jesus. How childish is it is when we are in a situation and we start acting like our children? How many people see children? Child said, you ugly. No, 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 you touch me. No, I'm going to touch you back. Get your hand off of me. He's touching me. He's touching me. Don't touch me. Why is she touching me? How many times have we seen that? We do the same thing with the enemy. We play tit for tat with him. Someone run over and get in our space. We get in their space. They sit in our seat. We don't talk to them that Sunday. Somebody say hallelujah. We have to understand that anxiety is not a God-like characteristic. We can't be anxious because the truth is, when you're anxious, you do things you wouldn't normally do. I see everyone right now, and they're looking here, and they're looking very calm and everyone is getting their thoughts together and they're enjoying themselves and everything. But right now, if someone got the mic and they yelled and they said, I'm giving out glory to the Lamb of God. God gave me a blessing and I'm giving $10,000 to everybody in the church. Everybody, wow! But when we walk this walk, we're not supposed to be led by those feelings. That those feelings shouldn't motivate us. Because when it's gone, where's your praise then? When it's gone, then where's your worship? Look at your neighbor and say, there's power in waiting. Philippians 4 and 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, we don't have to be in a hurry. Slow down. Enjoy the waiting. Everything we get and everything we say and everything we do should line up with the Word of God. If it's not in the Word, if it's not through prayer, if it does not line up with the Word of God, if it does not look like Him, then we should want it. Then we shouldn't do it. Whenever I get upset, I say to myself, does this reflect His character? Do I look like Him? You have to understand, when we're anxious, we take on the spirit of adultery, which means any noun, person, place, or thing that we feel we can't do without. We feel that we can't wait on God because we're just lost without it. So then we covet it. We yearn to possess it based on how it looks, based on how we feel someone else is benefiting from what they have. Then we make decisions based on impulse. If you notice, sales as far as the lottery would never go down. The casinos would never go out of business because of impulse. Oh, we got to have it. I can't wait on the Lord. He's just moving too slow for me. Oh, wait, we got to do something. So we find ourselves with dark shades on and with hats pulled over the left eye. Because we got to hurry up and do it. And the Bible really doesn't say it. But what does Ephesians 1:11 say? It says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Of His will. Everything we need is in Him, and anything that we do outside of Him is not His will, therefore is not blessed, and it won't last. Anything you get the wrong way will not sustain you. Somebody say hallelujah. Consider the parable of the talents, where the owner gave one servant 5 talents, another 3, and the last got 1. The last man hid his talent in the earth. The owner rebuked him. Think about how much sterner the rebuke would have been had it been gambled away, or had we just taken a chance with it, or had we did our own thing, thinking that we had it under control. If your time were your own, you could do what you wanted with it. That's fine. If your money were your own, you could do what you wanted with it. That's fine. But David said, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. the world and all that dwell in it. So why don't we just put our trust in the Lord? I'm going to talk about me. The reason why we don't put our trust in him is because we don't trust him. So we have a backup plan. It's almost like some of the children who are employed by me, they come and then they'll say, well, look, I'm quitting because I have another job, but don't terminate me out of the system. Put me on hold. Put me on a leave just in case it don't work out. We do the Lord like that. Although I am saved and I love him with all my heart, I'm just going to put the devil on the leave. That way every now and then when things don't work out the way I want, I can just go right here and do what I need to do. So we don't trust him. So we feel we need to have that backup plan. We feel we need to do that extra just so we can get the results that we're not getting quick enough because the waiting is just not working for me. Proverbs 3 and 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. When we trust God and we realize that our understanding can't do it, that's when we're the most powerful. That's when we understand that miracles happen through us because it's not about us and it's not us, it's him. So we begin to walk as he tells us to walk. In the midst of our waiting, we're waiting for the next assignment. It's all about him. Micah told us, he said, put your faith in action by waiting because he will hear you. When you don't wait and trust on the Lord, what you do is you embrace the worst possible outcome. Those outcomes are based on emotions, and emotional people make serious decisions that could change their entire life. Emotional people live by how they feel, and they make decisions by how they feel, and they end up not obeying God. What must be understood is our decisions mold our character. They chart the course of our life. For instance, if you're in a relationship with someone, talking to the single people, that's not born again, and you're constantly pressured by your peers, you need to hurry up and do it. You don't want to be single all your life. And you're so tired of being alone and everybody else around you is getting married and you're so tired of showing up at the weddings giving that fake smile because you know that you're at your what about me moment. Now your world is turned upside down and you make your decision. I'm going to go on ahead and get married. Now, because of this, you have prolonged ministry. And you're in a position where you can't do the things that God would have you to do. Why? Because you didn't embrace the power of your waiting. I'm going to give you a story about me. I was in a position where I had a decent job. And I did okay. And then, after being led by the Lord and praying and seeking counsel, we decided to take over the responsibility of leading and serving at East Campus. So I knew that it would be difficult for me to do this and work at the same time. So I went through maybe a 6-month period without any income from me coming in. Thanking, praising God for the faith of my wife, my loving wife. She's just awesome. But this is my story, my reality. Then an opportunity presented itself. And it worked well with my schedule. But on the other end, there was another opportunity that didn't work well with my schedule, but it was making exactly the same thing that I was making. So I had to make a choice. Do I take this where half was coming in, or do I take this where it puts me exactly where I was? So I prayed about it, talked to my wife about it. She said, you know what? I think you should take the half. We'll be fine. I said, okay. Took the half. Waited on the Lord. Next thing you know, person comes up to me, says to me, I don't know. The Lord told me to bless you. Boom, here you go. I said, okay, thank you. Another person comes up to my wife. She's shopping. She says, do you know, you remember me? My wife said, yes, I remember you. She said, okay, I'm going to give you $5,000 because I haven't seen you in a while. Out of the blue. And we just waited. I said, well, we need to wait more often. Then, out of the blue, an opportunity came to me. And I prayed about it. And it's a position that allows me to do what I need to do in ministry, while at the same time is more than I was making at the other position. Why? Because I realize that when you wait on God, God can do things that you can't do. You can't do it like he can do it. So when we put our spin on it, all we do is foul it up. Abraham and Sarah were past the time to bear children and had given up on waiting on God. But once they took matters into their own hands, they not only brought a lot of turmoil into the marriage, but it brought long-lasting consequences. Ishmael was born. From him arose Israel, Israel's permanent enemy, right up to this day. So some of you will make decisions that will cause a long-term effect, and multiple people will be affected by it. That's why you are so important. That's why we are so important. What we do have the ability to affect nations. The moves we make, the places we go. We may say, well, I don't have a purpose. There's nothing special about me. Yes, it is. You may say, well, brother, it's easy for you to talk because you don't understand what I'm going through. I want to say to you, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that you're going through, someone else has already gone through it. Someone else is going through it right now. And someone else will experience worse. So you might say, well, how do I wait on the Lord? And how is there power in waiting? Psalms 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, the phrase waited patiently is a complex Hebrew word. Translated into English, it takes two words to describe it. Either position of hope or expectation. It means you're in a status of looking for something, even when you can't physically see it. You know how we're a know-it-all a lot of times? And we just know it, we got it all figured out? That's how we need to be when we're waiting about the Lord. I know he'll bring me out. I'm waiting and depending on him. Oh, yes, I know I'm not going to listen to what they say. It's about him. I'm not going to make one move until he tells me to move. And the reason why you have to wait is because waiting puts you in the correct proximity to hear him. If you notice, those of you that listen to the radio, when you get in your car and you start driving out, the sound starts to get distorted. And you start hearing a little fuzz. And when you thought they said red, they really didn't say that. They actually said bed, and you didn't really you can't. And that's what happens. When we do our own thing, we drive out of the proximity of the voice of God, and we can't hear him. He's saying, go left. Go left. But you're busy waiting. I'm so sorry. You're busy running, doing your own thing, not waiting. You can't hear him saying, go left. So you're going to your understanding. You're saying, you know what? I think I need to go right. And on right is destruction. Somebody say hallelujah. Going back to that verse, it says, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. One thing I want is I want to be established. I don't want to be a fly-by-night. I don't want to get myself into a situation that's not going to last. You can look on the TV. You can see all the wealth of those that are on the TV. But we don't have to envy that, because you look at them one moment, they're wealthy. The next moment, they're in jail. You look at them one moment, they're wealthy. The next moment, they've died because of an overdose. Because what they received and the way that they obtained it wasn't a way that would establish them. But when you wait on the Lord, the power you get is you're established and you're sturdy and no one can touch it. No one can take it. Isaiah 40 and 31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Why is there power in waiting? Because when you're waiting, you renew your strength. So something is happening while you're waiting. It's a blessing to wait. Because when I wait, that means God has given me an opportunity to rest. He's saying, okay, you know what? Calm down. I got this. Get your strength, because the next level is going to be hard. And once you master that and you get to your next level, you know he'll take care of that too. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Every now and then I think about when I exercise. They'll tell you, don't exercise every single day. Because what happens is when you exercise every single day, your muscles, how do they put it? You're not going to have the strength for your muscles to work for you. So they tell you what you need to do is rest. You should work on your knee, your legs, and you rest a little bit. And then you can work on your arms, and then you rest a little bit. You can't work on it every single day because you will overwork your muscles. That's what I'm looking for. And then they won't be able to grow and expand like you want them to. So that's what I do. If I'm there with a trainer and he's working out, and he said, okay, you can do another one. Okay, I'm doing another one. Okay, go ahead and do another one. Okay, all right, I'm going to spot you. All right, good. And when he says, okay, now rest, I look forward to resting. Because I know after I rest, the load is going to increase. But if I don't rest, when he increases the load, I won't have the strength in order to sustain myself. So that rest is important. Waiting is important. We could all stand. Yes, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. This teaching today was just simply telling you to slow down and allow God to do it. Don't do it on your own. You can't depend on your own strength. Your strength will fail you every time. Worrying will not help you. Worrying makes situations worse. Fear won't help you. Fear makes situations worse, and it takes you out of the proximity of the voice of God. But when you wait and you put yourself in a position of pure obedience, then he'll be able to do the things that only he can do, because you're available for him to do it. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you, Lord, asking you to help us. We all have issues. We all have things that we are experiencing right now. God, we come to you and we say, Lord, you got us. We're tired. We can't do it. We throw in the towel. We're tired of fighting against you. Lord, have your way. We will not move until you say move. Do what you said in your word that you would do. Lord God, we embrace your power. We embrace your direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have 11 minutes so you all can fellowship, and some of you may want to come to the front and pray for those last 11 minutes. God bless you.